Right now, most churches are planning their budgets for 2009. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the sponsors page at issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for some audio open lines in this first hour of the program. We're going to kick it off with a Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra. He's written a lot of books, but his latest is called The Third Jesus, The Christ We Cannot Ignore. Deepak Chopra loves to talk about Jesus. Now, I want you to listen carefully to some of the things that he has to say about Jesus, who he thinks Jesus was and is. It's your time to chime in with questions or comments, your reaction to the Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra, 1-877-623-6943. We're coming to you live this Wednesday, November the 12th, 1-877-623-MYIE, or simply email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. We'll also hear, as time permits, excerpts from a recent sermon preached by Pastor Ted Haggard, in fact, on the anniversary of his fall from grace, as the media is calling it. If you will remember, he was past president of the National Association of Evangelicals, and then kind of at the height of his career and influence, pastor of a gigantic 11,000-member congregation in Colorado. He had a very public fall into sin. Now, the details are unknown, and those are really not that important. What he's saying today, we'll play some of it for you, see what you have to say. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org. After some audio open lines, Jennifer Roback Morse will join us. We'll talk about the protests over Prop 8. After it passed, there are people protesting in the streets, saying it shouldn't have passed. They're going to do something about it. The whole gay marriage ban in California. Then Pastor Stephen Parks will join us. We'll spend about three segments talking with him about original sin. 1-877-623-6943 or talkback@issuesetc.org. Here's the beginning. We'll stop and start this, get your reaction to it, of a Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra.
The brand new novel, Jesus, A Story of Enlightenment, imagines the lost years of Christ himself. Now, author Deepak Chopra traces Jesus' path from a rebellious teenager to a rebellious leader and tells a story of how the spiritual Christ emerged. And joining us now for his first cable interview, New York Times bestselling author, founder of the Chopra Institute, Deepak Chopra. Pleasure. You said a funny joke. I said, it's Chopra, right? And you said, yes, it would be.
I said, if Oprah married me, she would be Oprah Chopra.
Have you used that joke before? I like it. That's very good. All right. Now, Alan's going to talk to you about the book, which, by the way, and Alan's a big fan of yours, and we're glad to have you on the program.
Thank you very much.
You and I were talking in the green room.
Right.
You want 100 million people to take a pledge. Tell everybody what that pledge is.
The pledge is a pledge of nonviolence, a pledge for making the choice for peace in every moment with yourself, with your friends, with your family, and ultimately with the world. And I believe that if 100 million people became embodiments of peace, the world would transform, because consciousness is a collective phenomenon. And what we see as good and evil is the balance between forces
If I punch you, you're going to turn the other cheek.
20 years ago, I would have knocked you back.
That's a good answer.
But now I would create an environment where you wouldn't feel like punching me.
All right, what if somebody was in
you? You didn't hear me. I said I would create an environment
where I wouldn't want to punch you.
Yeah.
That's an interesting. Okay, so I think what he's trying to do here is he's trying to show how his own spiritual enlightenment and evolution have led him to be a more peace-loving man. So 20 years ago, he would have returned punch for punch. And it's a great question, by the way. It's a great question on the part of Sean Hannity asking, well, what would you do if I punched you? Well, an honest answer, 20 years ago I would have punched you back, but today I would create an environment in which you wouldn't want to punch me. But what if I punched you anyway, Deepak? I mean, you can create any environment you want, but what if I punched you anyway? What would you do? That answer is not forthcoming. We're listening to a Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra. What he's trying to talk about is, and notice that there's absolutely no biblical basis for anything Deepak Chopra claims about Jesus Christ's spiritual enlightenment, his growth from rebellious youth to spiritual Jesus. Do you agree or disagree? Our phone number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE, or talkback at issuesetc.org, talkback at issuesetc.org.
You know, when I'm totally established in peace consciousness, then people around me cease to feel hostility.
Oh, but this aura that you can prevent people. So
I
a burglar comes in your house, you know, stoned out of his mind on crack cocaine, and he wants to rape your daughter and your wife and steal everything you have, your aura is going to stop him?
See, I'll tell you, 20 years ago, a burglar came into my house. He had a baseball bat. And I screamed so loudly that the bat fell from him. I picked it up, I knocked him on the head. He was unconscious. The police came. He was wanted for murder.
Right.
About 6 months ago, I was in Nashville, and the same thing happened, but it wasn't my house. I stepped into an alley, and four kids surrounded me with a gun.
Right.
And I talked them out of it.
All right. Well, look, I don't doubt that that can happen. Mm-hmm. But I believe, and I wrote a whole book about it, that there's evil. And I, for example, Ahmadinejad denies the Holocaust. He wants to wipe Israel off the map. I think it is rather naive.
He's not so much evil as he's probably psychotic.
Fine, let's psychologize the president of Iran and say he's psychotic instead of evil. The effect is the same. But you notice there was no answer to the question. So what if the burglar broke in, whacked out of his mind on crack cocaine? Well, someone did break into my house. I talked them out of killing me. That was 20 years ago. But I thought he said 20 years ago he would have punched back. Perhaps he was more enlightened 20 years ago than even he gives himself credit for. He's got a new – this is Deepak Chopra talking to Hannity and Combs, and he's got a new book called Jesus, A Story of Enlightenment, allegedly tracing Jesus' growth from rebellious youth to spiritual Christ. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE. Our in-studio email address this Wednesday afternoon, November the 12th, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. So Chopra quotes Jesus saying, turn the other cheek. It's really just about creating this aura of peace that keeps people at peace, that Chopra claims to have for himself. How would you respond to that? Is that what Jesus meant? Create an environment in which people don't want to strike you on the cheek. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-IE.
Psychotic evil, you know. But
psychotic people need to be treated.
I think there's evil. But you don't deny there's evil in the world.
I think evil is our collective shadow. You know, each one of us has a tendency for the diabolical. If I put you in inhumane conditions, if you're not educated, if you're extremely poor, if you're humiliated, then as a child, if you suffer abuse, then you'll manifest evil when you grow up.
But my only point, though, is I think there are certain circumstances where you've got to defeat evil.
Well, as
you've
a physician, look at, say, cancer as an evil phenomenon.
Right.
And if somebody has cancer,
I'm talking about spiritual evil.
This goes through why you're talking about the book.
But then I try to understand what is the context, what's the conditions in which it arose. What? And if I don't do that, I'll continue to fight darkness with darkness. And you can't do that. You have to switch on the light, as Jesus did.
Actually, one of the things you talk about in the book, Deepak, which is you talk about the Jesus you talk about, which I want to get into in a moment. You say resist not evil is one of the things that Jesus teaches.
Well, read the Sermon on the Mount, okay?
Yeah.
And if you take it literally, which Gandhi did, by the way, Gandhi used to read the Sermon on the Mount and practice it. He brought down the British Empire, 200 years of colonialism, where they said the sun never set without firing a single bullet.
All right, now he's brought Gandhi into it. Oh, there's a lot to react to here. I want to hear from you. 1-877-623-6943. Everybody loves the Sermon on the Mount. Regardless of who you are, Deepak Chopra, the most liberal Bible scholar, politicians on Capitol Hill, everybody loves the Sermon on the Mount. What do you make of Deepak Chopra's reading of it? Talk back at issuesetc.org. It's audio open lines, issues, etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. When we come back from this break, some more audio open lines for you. We'll hear excerpts from a recent sermon preached by Pastor Ted Haggard, finish up our Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra, and hear an AP report on the reincarnation of a new Buddha, a teenaged Buddha. Just perfect for today's society. Teenaged Buddha. When you go to church this weekend and you're looking through the church's bulletin, you might notice something missing, issues, etc. You can have issues, etc. in your church's bulletin, a complete list of the things we talk about on this program and a way to tell everyone how they can listen to issues, etc. It's right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click promote, and you'll find a blurb on issues, etc. for your church's bulletin. You can simply copy and paste it, email it, or take it into your church secretary and have her put it into your church's bulletin this Sunday. Issuesetc.org. Click promote. Your phone calls and your email on last night's Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra. He says he knows all about Jesus and who Jesus was and is, and it's really kind of the Oprah Winfrey version of Jesus. You remember when she recently said that she used to believe that Jesus came to die as the sacrifice for our sins, and then she finally realized that that wasn't right. Jesus came to show us how to do it, to find the Christ consciousness that is already in us. You can create an aura of peace so that where Jesus says, if someone strikes you, turn the other cheek, what he really meant was create such an aura of peace in yourself that people won't even want to hit you. Sounds great. 1-877-623-6943. Talk back at issuesetc.org.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
We know that many congregations are putting together their budgets for next year. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. to your congregation's mission or advertising budget for 2009. Simply go to the sponsors page of our website, issuesetc.org, and find out more about the Issues, Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues, Etc. You'll even find a one-page flyer that you can hand out. Thanks for your support.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The media is hailing groundbreaking research just released in the prestigious journal Pediatrics. The study says teens who watch sex-saturated television are twice as likely to become pregnant over the next 3 years. They researched kids between the ages of 12 and 17 and did two follow-up interviews. Not surprisingly, they found both girls and boys were influenced by watching TV programs with strong sexual content. And this type of programming is everywhere. It boggles the mind to think how many sexually transmitted diseases or unexpected pregnancies can be directly related to TV, movies, magazines, or the internet. They're being bombarded by the stuff. Parents, this means you need to be involved in your children's lives and be a filter where you can.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer, get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
I'm trying as hard as I can to create an aura of peace around myself so that people don't feel like hitting me. That's what Deepak Chopra says Jesus was all about. Turn the other cheek. Just read the Sermon on the Mount. Gandhi read it, and he overturned the British Empire. Was Gandhi reading the Sermon on the Mount the way that Jesus intended it to be read? We're listening to a Hannity and Combs interview with Deepak Chopra, his new book called Jesus, A Story of Enlightenment, Jesus' Own Personal Enlightenment. 1-877-623-6943. It's Wednesday, November the 12th. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Let's hear some more of this interview.
You talk about the things, and you talked about this in your previous book, The Third Jesus. The things that Jesus talked about sound simple, but they're so difficult to do. Love thy neighbor as thyself.
Because you have to understand the mind, the consciousness from where he came. You know, in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I and God are one. And the crowd picks up stones. They want to kill him. He says, many good works have I shown you. For which of these do you stone me? And they say, we don't stone you for good works that you do. We stone you for blasphemy, because you, being a man, call yourself a God. And then he explains that, you know, the state of consciousness that he's in is possible for anyone and everyone.
And you talk about Christ's consciousness here. And well, you talk about some of the big controversies concerning Jesus. Mm-hmm. For example, was Jesus static? Mm-hmm. Was he born divine, or was he born like us and evolved through a transformation into a divine
person? I think
everyone
has a spark of divinity inside them. After all, we were created in the image of God, as it said.
Even Al?
So, even him. And if we pay attention to that,
you see, he makes me want to be violent, but nevertheless, I'm taking a page out of trouble.
I'm the one that believes in defending oneself.
See, when you're totally defenseless, there's nothing to attack.
That sounds great in theory, but the reality is if someone's raping your wife and daughter, you're going to use violence.
Right. You react at that time, but then try...
You'd hit them with a bat?
Yeah, if I was...
You would.
But I'd try something else before.
But what would you
I
try?
I wouldn't put myself in that situation.
But is it what you're saying... We have a second left here, but is what you're saying here, getting beneath that, is that you create a situation where those circumstances don't occur to you.
The world out there is a projection of our collective consciousness. If our collective consciousness reaches that place of peace, harmony, laughter, and love, it'll be a different world.
And the idea is to achieve Christ consciousness.
Ultimately, Christ said, I'm in this world and not of it. And we all have that capacity.
Can I ask a question? Those glasses... That's like from the Elton John collection.
I wasn't getting enough attention.
No. I mean, it looks like, remember he used to wear the crazy glasses on stage?
Actually, but I think Liberace had better taste.
Is that right? Okay.
All right, Deepak. Thank you very much.
All right, that's Deepak Chopra. Apparently, you know, they had a little time to fill up the end of the interview there. Okay, he talked about Jesus having this consciousness and saying that you could have the consciousness that Jesus had, this divine spark that he had fanned into flame, for yourself. All Jesus came to do was to tell us that we could all be just like him. He's pretty persistent in that response, isn't he? That if someone broke into his house, and Hannity won't let it go, somebody broke into his house, he simply would create a situation in which that person wouldn't do him violence. He even said at one point, if you're defenseless, there's nothing to attack. Tell that to 4,000 unborn babies every day. But of course, they're too young to create the kind of aura around themselves that would keep people from doing them harm. Too bad for them, says Deepak Chopra. What do you think? We often boast we have the smartest listeners in radio. Surely you should be able to respond to Deepak Chopra and some of the things he said in that interview with Hannity and Combs. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or talk back at issuesetc.org, talk back at issuesetc.org. Now, he quoted a passage there, and I'm looking for it here. Yeah, he quoted this passage where Jesus is going to be stoned for blasphemy. Now, this is the way Deepak Chopra told the story. People thought he was saying that he was God. I and the Father are one. So according to Deepak Chopra, his enemies picked up stones to kill him, and Jesus says, well, I've done many good works among you. For which of them are you going to stone me? And they said, it's not for your good works, but it's because you blaspheme, you being a man, make yourself God. Now, Deepak Chopra said that right after that, Jesus explained to them how they too could have the Christ consciousness. Let's see what Jesus really says after that. Does he go on to talk about Christ consciousness? Jesus answered, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said you are gods'? If he calls them gods to whom the word of God came and the scriptures cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father consecrated and sent to the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I am not doing the works of my Father, then do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I am in the Father." And again, they sought to arrest him. Does Jesus explain to them that they are gods? No. Does he say, "I have this consciousness and you can have it too," just like Deepak Chopra said he did? No. Jesus says, well, even the Old Testament calls the people to whom the word of God came gods, small g. And if that's how it speaks of those to whom the word of God came, what would it say of the word of God himself, who's come in human flesh, the one sent from the Father? No, he's not claiming that everyone is divine. He's claiming that he is divine. He's not claiming to have a Christ consciousness. He's claiming to be the Christ, the one whom the Father has consecrated and sent into the world. It's a nice try on Deepak Chopra's part. Nice try. This email comes from Carrie in Minnesota. "Somehow I don't think I can measure up. No matter how hard I try, I know I'd fail. Those poor work-based people thinking they can almost achieve perfection." Thank you very much, Carrie. Thanks for listening in Minnesota. What about the rest of you? Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. talkback@issuesetc.org. Or 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. It's audio open lines. I want to hear your reaction to Hannity and Combs' interview last night with Deepak Chopra. It's just a matter of, oh, the other thing that that Alan Combs asked was, many of the things that Jesus said sound so simple but are so difficult to do. I don't know whether to agree or disagree. If Deepak Chopra is right, and Jesus is telling us that we can achieve Christ consciousness, if all Jesus was doing was coming to say, "Hey, I've done it, you can do it too. I've achieved this higher level of enlightenment, so can you," then I think I agree with Alan Combs. I can't think of anything more difficult that Jesus would put before us, fallen, sinful men, than to come into the world and say, "Hey, I've done it. What's wrong with the rest of you?" Actually, that sounds an awful lot like a Christian preachers I hear nowadays. "Hey, I'm pulling it off. Why can't you guys pull it off?" Of course, they're not talking about the Christ consciousness. They might say Christ-like life or something like that. How bleak would it be if Jesus simply showed up on the scene to say, "Hey, I'm doing it. I'm living the perfect life. I've achieved perfect communion with God. I'm at peace with God. What's wrong with the rest of you schmoes? Come on. Do what I do." That would be terrible. It's a good thing that Jesus didn't come to do that, but in fact to say, "I have achieved it. I have done it. I have lived the perfect life for you in your place." Well, staying on the theme of Eastern mysticism, here's a short AP story about the new teenage Buddha.
This is the one they have been lining up for. Thousands of people are trekking to this remote spot in Nepal to meet and be blessed by the teen who they believe is the reincarnation of the Buddha. Followers say this 18-year-old has been meditating without food or water for 3 years and once spent months sitting under a tree without moving. Now he spends his time blessing all comers by lightly tapping them on the head and hands. Believers say it's the touch of the divine. This man says after he was touched, he got the urge to change his life, while this woman says she felt overwhelmed in his presence. Still, others are doubting. Some scholars say it takes more than meditating without food to prove he's the reincarnation of the Buddha. The teen himself hasn't spoken out about the matter, but is expected to address his followers next week before heading back into the jungle for more meditations. Ed Donahue, The Associated Press.
Now, you got to hand it to a guy like this. At least this guy is – Deepak Chopra lives in a mansion and drives a Rolls Royce, probably. He writes books, and he has a lot of very gullible fans who will buy his books and read them and keep him in the lifestyle to which he's become accustomed. And he claims to be doing it all in the name of this self-denial, this – well, really kind of this Buddhist notion of loss of the self. It's hardly that. It's the westernized version of it. It really is self-obsession rather than loss of self. But you got to hand it to this 18-year-old kid over there. At least if he's going to be a Buddhist, he's going to be a Buddhist the right way. He's going to do it exactly the way the Buddha did it. He is going to truly deny self insofar as a Buddhist really can. There's a great contrast. There's pop Buddhism, Deepak Chopra, and then there's the real thing, this 18-year-old who doesn't eat for 3 years. It's Audio Open Lines this Wednesday, November the 12th. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MY-I-E. When we come back, 10 more minutes of Audio Open Lines. Stay tuned.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Cassandra Shirk, Pastor David Putz, Pastor Barry Long, Jacqueline Klug, Lawrence Young, Marla Schmidt, Calvin Vanderlinde, Ron Kinsel Jr., Henry Glass, and Barbara Gershner. Thanks for your support.
Issues Etc. is listener-supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check, Issues Etc., Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. Thanks for your support of Issues Etc.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues Etc. Sharon Bailing, Autumn Beth Wagner, Greta Andrews, Barbara Wagner, John Werdman, Julie Paulson, Jonathan Bauer, Brent Hebbets, Pastor Ron Hodel, and Inga Duke. Thanks for your support.
Ah, the sounds of rich liturgy and historic Christian worship. What a way to spend a Sunday morning. At Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt, Illinois, you'll find authentic Christianity as you hear the preaching of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of your sins. Come, join us Sunday mornings at 9 and Monday evenings at 7:30. And find out more about Trinity Lutheran Church, Millstadt, Illinois, at trinitymillstadt.org.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes in this first hour of the program. Audio Open Lines. We've heard from Deepak Chopra, the teenaged Buddha. And in a few minutes, excerpts from a recent sermon preached by Pastor Ted Haggard. Audio Open Lines, our call-in number 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E, and our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org. I was saying something before the break that you've got genuine Buddhism, which is patently wrong. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying here, that whether you practice Buddhism pop American style or whether you practice it in its full strength, like this 18-year-old who deprives himself of sleep and food apparently for 3 years in deep meditation, it's still a dead end. I mean, whether you're Deepak Chopra or the teenage Buddha, it's still a dead end. It does not lead to enlightenment, much less to God. There is only one way, one truth, one life. Jesus Christ, who wasn't a Buddhist, who didn't begin as a youthful, rebellious teenager, and then somehow achieve his Christ consciousness only to turn around and tell us that we can do it too. Jesus wasn't here to show us how. Next time you go to church on Sunday morning into your Christian church, remember this as you listen to your pastor's sermon. Jesus didn't come to show us how. He didn't come to show us the way. He came to be the way. He came to do what we could not do in our place and be the way, not show us the way, be the way, the truth, and the life. Just remember that. Buddhists don't understand that. Christians should. Now, it's a couple years ago that Ted Haggard was kind of at the top of his game. He was pastor of a very influential megachurch in Colorado, 11,000 members, perhaps more. He was president of the National Association of Evangelicals. In fact, when he was elected to the National Association of Evangelicals presidency, his elevation was viewed as a real signal of where evangelicals were going in the 21st century. And then about 2 years ago, he had a very public humiliation. He was exposed as having consorted with a male prostitute of some sort, and I don't remember all the details, but it was all over for Ted Haggard at that point. Well, he recently preached a sermon. Oh, yeah, I got to say, I had an interview with him a couple months before the tragedy that he brought upon himself. It was a very interesting interview. I often think about it with great sadness. I really do. We talked with Pastor Haggard at the time, and what we were talking about was the basic stuff, sin and grace. And he made some remarkable statements that I almost had a hard time believing he would make, but he did. He said that Christians don't need to repent every day, that if you're really a Christian, you should be sinning less and less every day. Therefore, your need to repent should be less and less every day. In fact, he said Christians probably should be able to go quite some time without the need to repent because sin should be less and less a problem in your lives. At the time, he was, I think, holed up in a hotel room working on a book when he was kind enough to do this interview with us. And there was some sort of political hearing going on at the time. And I asked him about the commandments, the commandment, you shall not kill, where Jesus says, if you hate your brother in your heart, you've become a murderer. I asked him, had he kept that commandment? He said, yes. He knew Jesus' explanation. He said, I've been watching these congressional hearings, and I've been watching these people with whom I disagree. And it was the nomination hearings for Justice Alito. That's right. And he said, by some special act of grace of God, he didn't feel any animosity toward those people grilling Alito. I said, so you've kept that commandment perfectly so far today. And his response was, yeah, that one I have so far. I remember that with sadness because I thought to myself, here is a guy who doesn't see his sin. And if you don't see it, it's got you. He doesn't realize the sin in his heart. He thinks he's doing it. He thinks he's pulling it off. And if you're not aware of your sin, it's your master. You're a slave to it if you're not aware of it. Well, here's an AP, an excerpt from, I think this comes from CBS, a recent sermon preached by Ted Haggard, now 2 years after his fall. He's reflecting on it. I want you to listen carefully whether anything has changed. It comes from ABC News. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE, or feel free to email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Ted Haggard spoke on the second anniversary of the scandal that brought him down from his perch as one of the most powerful evangelicals in this country. He gave a pair of sermons at a small church in Illinois where the pastor is an old friend of his. Haggard's comments were quite revealing, and they were recorded on audio tape and put up on the internet.
The first thing I want you to know is that I sinned. I really did sin. And I'm very, very sorry that I sinned.
At the Open Bible Fellowship Church in Morrison, Illinois, Ted Haggard issued a series of apologies, including to the members of his former church in Colorado Springs and to his family.
My wife, all my shame and sin was placed on her. People treated her as if she had fallen. And my children, they all went through carrying my shame. And I am so sorry that I did that to my family.
Haggard explained that he believes the source of his behavior was abuse he suffered while in the second grade.
My dad was pretty successful. He had a lot of workers. One of those workers had a sexual experience with me. I was 7 years old.
That experience, he said, came back to haunt him when he'd reached prominence as a nationally known evangelical leader.
There I was, 50 years old, a conservative Republican, loving the Word of God, an evangelical, born again, spirit-filled, charismatic, all those things. But some of the things that were buried in the depths of the sea from when I was in the second grade started to rage in my mind and in my heart.
Haggard did not specifically discuss how he sinned, only saying that some of the allegations against him, from former gay prostitute Mike Jones, allegations of sex and crystal meth, were exaggerated. He did reveal, however, just how devastating the resulting scandal was for him.
There came a moment in my life when we were so alone and there was so much despair that I became suicidal. And I'd figured out how I was going to kill myself and rid the world of the horrible curse of Ted Haggard.
But he said that now, with the help of God and of his wife, Gail, who stayed with him, he's being transformed.
I'm a stronger Christian than I've ever been in my life. I have a stronger marriage than I've ever had in my life.
And finally, Haggard issued an emotional critique of church leaders, who he said had missed a God-given opportunity to use the scandal to display Christian love.
I believe that he gives us opportunities every few years to communicate the gospel worldwide through secular media, and we consistently blow it. A congressperson in trouble, that's the time. A family member gets themselves in horrible trouble, that's the time. A preacher gets himself in awful trouble, that's the time.
Haggard did repeatedly say how grateful he is to the small group of people who helped him after he lost his job. The former head of the National Association of Evangelicals said he was broke at one point, living with his family in a tiny apartment, relying on others to pay their utility bills. He said he's now started an insurance company and is starting to get back on his feet.
All right. It's good to hear him reflect upon these things. Although I can't say that my sorrow over my interview with him a couple of years ago is really completely gone away, because it's hard to tell from his words now whether or not he views the sin that he committed that brought his ministry down as just an isolated incident in an otherwise kind of progressive, getting better and better every day Christian life. You see, there's a big difference here. Good, he admitted that he sinned. How his sin affected his family, his sorrow, his despair over his sin. Some psychological explanation for why he did it, that's not necessarily true or false, but it doesn't really bear upon the issue. The fallout of his sin, and he's right, we do miss opportunities. The church misses opportunity after opportunity to proclaim the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ when these things happen in the church. He's right there, but when he says, when someone falls, when someone big falls, it's time to preach the gospel. Pastor Haggard, it's always time to preach the gospel. See, that's the whole crux of my concern about my conversation with him before his fall into sin. It wasn't an isolated fall into sin. Was that sin that he committed an isolated event or even a series of isolated events in an otherwise good Christian life? In an otherwise spotless record of sanctification? No. It's always time to preach the gospel because sin is always present. It's never more present than when you don't recognize it in your life, when you don't see it or won't see it. This is the problem with this. We're all getting better. We're all making improvement. Self-help, self-improvement Christianity. It creates churches full of Ted Haggards who believe that they're pulling it off today. And when they sin, they say, oops. And they recognize the magnitude of their sin, but they view it as one isolated incident in an otherwise upward rise of sanctification. No. It's always time to preach the gospel because we are always sinners in need of Jesus. Jesus isn't there just when you fall. He's there, or when you think you're falling, he's there all the time because our sin is ever present. So our need for his forgiveness, won for us at the cross, is also ever present. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. We'll spend the first part with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse talking about protests of Prop 8 in California. Then we'll talk original sin, get into some more of this with Pastor Steve Parks.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.